This Black Friday, get 6 months free when you move your WordPress sites to Kinsta. Enjoy faster load times, no stress when traffic spikes, and hosting you can actually count on. We're G2's number one rated host for WordPress. For a reason. Visit kinsta.com/BF. That's KINSTA.com/BF. Don't miss out. Offer ends December 2nd.
Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McCusick, and it's time for this week's One Last Thing. We're going to look at the Ravens playoff scenarios. After that Buffalo win over Pittsburgh last night, Ravens fans sitting home fat and happy after the Thanksgiving holiday. Joining me just for this discussion is Sean Asher. Sean, how you doing?
I'm hanging in, Ken. I'm hanging in. Ravens did not have a great Thanksgiving for me. I had Jimmy's Famous Seafood deliver me some crab cakes and cook those up, and even Jimmy's crab cakes couldn't save my Thanksgiving. So hanging in.
There you go. There you go. It was a cold night to be out there, added to some of the misery and of what was going on, certainly. So the Ravens at 6-6 now, tied with the Steelers atop of the AFC North, two games ahead of the Bengals. Do you want to talk about the broader AFC picture, first of all?
Yeah, so kind of the reason we wanted to do this is because, I mean, for me personally, after the game, I was doom and gloom. And, you know, I normally try to sleep on it and, like, wake up the next day so that I don't just tweet, fire everybody, tear it all down. but, you know, once I slept on it and I saw somewhere out there the Bills were playing the Steelers this weekend, and then they play Cincy as well. And I'm like, okay, well, you know, these two teams still have schedule that, you know, they have to contend with as well. So, you know, it's not quite doom and gloom yet, although it's not looking great. So let's kind of dive into this. When I dove into this, one of the big things that stood out is this year's playoff picture is kind of a hodgepodge, not what we'd expect. Denver and New England are leading the AFC with 10 games each, and, you know, who knows if they're real or if they're pretenders or if it's legitimate threats to be contending for Super Bowls. It's still kind of early. I'm sure those fan bases will tell you that they're going to win it this year, but who knows, really. After that, you got Jacksonville as the 3 seed, and you got Baltimore as the 4th seed currently. When you look past that, for the wild card spots, you got Los Angeles and Indy and Buffalo all at 8-4. So those 3 wild card spots are kind of, I wouldn't say locked up, but they're getting close to being locked up territory. After that, you've got Houston at 7-5, Pittsburgh at 6-6, and Kansas City at 6-6. So in my mind, the path of least resistance is going to be the division. Like, you got to win the division. Otherwise, you're, you know, kind of sitting at the 9th seed where Pittsburgh currently is, or the 10th seed where Kansas City currently is. And you don't really want to be that far down the playoff scenario picture.
Yeah, the Ravens have virtually no chance to make the playoffs as a wild card. I'll just say it a little differently there. If you look at Football Outsiders, or it's actually FTN now, they're listed as a 51.5% chance to make the playoffs. 0.1% of that total, 0.1 percentage points of that total, I always have to say that correctly, is the number 2 seed, 1% is the 3 seed, and 50.4% is the 4 seed, and 0 is the wild card probability right now. Now, I notice there's a very slight difference. It looks like there might be a 0.1% chance that's missing somehow that might be wild card hopes, but in truth, the Ravens have none in terms of the wild card. If they play well enough to win the wild card, they'll almost certainly win the division, is the wherewithal. So wanted to go through the various paths to the playoffs, and then I want you to try and add color in terms of what games are really important for the Ravens otherwise. But I'll just go through it very quickly. If the Ravens go 5-0, they win the AFC North. Their destiny is in their own hands. I don't think we need to talk about that one too much more, but if they went 5-0, they'd likely be a higher seed than the 4, in my opinion. I think they have a good chance to be either they have a good chance to be the three seed if they go 5-0. Some team will falter. It could be New England, could even still be Denver, but I think the more likely it is it's the AFC South winner ends up with six losses, and the Ravens are somehow ahead of them in tiebreaker reasons. They won't be ahead of Houston for tiebreaker, so that's something they want to try and avoid.
Yep. And one thing I'll say, I know it is kind of doom and gloom. I remember 2012, it was the Giants game, right? Mm-hmm. And I went to that Giants game, you know, I was in the military at the time, and they, you know, I was at the military appreciation day and training camp. And then they gave us emails and said, you know, if you're going to be in town, you know, reach out to this. And I reached out, and, you know, sure enough, they put me in the game. I was on the sideline for the first pregame warmups. And that game was a get right game that led us to turning the whole season around and eventually winning the Super Bowl. So I know right now there's not a lot of optimism. There's not a lot of hope, but what I will say is, you know, any one of these games coming up soon, even if it's Pittsburgh this week, like it could be the game that leads us to have the momentum to carry on and win out.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you. Going into that Giants game, they had lost three straight games to Pittsburgh, Washington, and Denver. And that Denver game, they got blasted. They also had a bunch of players injured. And so you thought, oh, they're going to face Denver in the playoffs. And they did. Completely different Ravens team who faced Denver in that double overtime game. But they got right against Cincinnati, and then they were able to actually rest in week 17 against Cincinnati. Got right against the Giants, and then they rested against Cincinnati in week 17. They lost that game and still were okay for the 4-0 playoff run. This year's Ravens, I have a more broad fear is that they haven't beaten anybody good so far. The only team they've beaten is the Bears, who are another number one seed now in the NFC. So if we were Buffalo fans, we'd be waving a flag about that. But the Ravens have not had a good record versus winning teams this year. And that's not a good sign. But of course, the last 2 years, they've had fantastic records against winning teams, and they haven't made it work in the playoffs.
One thing I'll piggyback off of that. You know, one thing that happened in 2012 is there were some changes made. And, you know, I don't think we're going to fire a coordinator like we did in 2012. I don't see that happening. Either way, like even if we go 0-5, I don't see it happening.
How about the offensive line changes that happened?
We started to see some, right? We started to see Emory Jones folded in, and I'm sure the viewers are going to hear your grading and, you know, understand how all that can be impacted and what the likely ramifications are in the future. But we are starting to see some changes. So maybe there's some more things in the works. Maybe we're going to see something else, you know. I know there's some running back usage from last week that was super questionable. And I'm sure even the coaches are questioning it today. So, you know, maybe there's some more changes to be made to really get this thing right.
So, yeah, I mean, obviously a bunch of things. I don't want to go too far afield because I just did a short video on the usage of Rasheen Ali, and he was used basically as a passing down back, and he's very effective in that role. That might be a change that actually helps the Ravens. That he might be a replacement for Justice Hill, who might be playing at a higher level right now, and if that's the case, fantastic. And I got to say, you got to be willing to allow yourself to be continually surprised by the results. But I hope nobody's clinging to a narrative about Rasheen Ali at this point. Even with limited data, this is a ray of hope, what he did in this game against Cincinnati. So I had the guy cut multiple times this year. I'll be the first to admit it. The Ravens did a good job of holding on to him. And you know, they obviously knew more about what they had than I did. I appreciate that they've kept him around, and hopefully he'll make their roster decision for 2026 on Justice Hill a little bit easier. Justice Hill, you know, a big cap number that they can save about $3.25 million. Ali could be a replacement for that. You mentioned Emory Jones. Emory Jones is a guy who had a holding penalty in his first game. That's never good, and they didn't score all that well because of that holding penalty, but there was a lot of technical play there that I thought was pretty good. And it looks like he could maybe get opportunities left or right on this line. And the offensive line as a whole played pretty well in the game. So I think that's something to take forward from this. So I, you know, I as bad as that game was, you know, so much of it rests on the shoulders of number eight in terms of missing passes that, you know, the only course of action is to hope that he gets right. There is no other replace Lamar Jackson or Tyler Huntley is a better option or any of that kind of crap. But we also expect that to be true, that he'll play a little better down the stretch. So, yeah.
And I mean, if that's what we're rooting for and that's what's going to take is for Lamar to get right and start playing like Lamar Jackson, like I'll put money on that.
Yeah.
You know, even if I'm going to lose, I'll put money on that any day because we've seen what Lamar can do. So is it all these lingering, you know, one-off small injuries or, you know, stuff like that. And, you know, this mini buy helps, who knows, but like, if we're counting on Lamar to show up as the MVP caliber type of player, you know, I don't see that not happening. I wouldn't bet against that. So, yeah.
I think that's a valid point. And hopefully the Ravens, you know, get the play they need out of Lamar Jackson. One thing I'll point to is, if you were one of the people saying in 21 or 22 in particular that Lamar, or earlier this season for that matter, that Lamar was somehow dogging it and not coming back to the team, shame on you. Shame on you. I mean, you know, we've seen, you know, the troubles Lamar's had playing at 75% or 80% or whatever he is right now. But he's not, obviously not completely right in terms of the run. Even in this last game where I think he was better as a runner, they're still not using the read option fully. They're obviously not taking full advantage of misdirection. This would have been a good game to have it because, you know, they were not all crowding the line of scrimmage. There was an opportunity to get their linebackers flowing in the wrong direction by using misdirection. They didn't really try and do that as a major part of their game. So they didn't run the ball too much in general, which is a general complaint about the game, but they didn't make use of Jackson's misdirection component. But what I'll say about this is, I mean, it's fairly obvious that Lamar Jackson is not the same player when he's hurt. So from this year, so this is a good time to just say that, you know, the Lamar of 21 and 22 who sat out games and had a knee injury whatever his assorted injuries were at that time, I'm sure he was making the right choice, probably not just for himself, but also for the team.
Yeah, absolutely, man. And like, you see how much Lamar loves the game. Like, the question whether or not he's like his heart's in it, or like, that's just absurd, dude. That's just absurd. But so back to this. Sorry, what's the next path for us?
So if they go 4-1, then they win the AFC North, period. Full stop. They could be tied with the Steelers, but they have all the necessary tiebreakers covered. They would beat out outright the Bengals with a 4-1 finish, because the Bengals can't finish with 7 losses. They have 8 already. Could be tied with the Steelers still if they split with the Steelers inside of that 4-1. But if they did, then they'd either win by division record over the Steelers, or they'd win by the third tiebreaker, which is common opponents. So they already have that clinched based on the fact that they've lost all three of their non-common opponents. So if they had a tie, then the common opponents, they'll definitely have a better record because the Steelers, they've at least beaten one. I don't remember if they've beaten more than that of their non-common opponents.
So one thing I'll add to that, Ravens have Steelers, Bengals, Patriots, Packers, and Steelers left. We lose just one more game, please don't let it be the Bengals. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it from Cincy fans. Like, I respect them. I get it. But, God, they're the worst on X. They're the worst for me personally.
There's a lot of hatred. I mean, the Bills fans have been, the way they've been, this whole, whatever. I other teams are going to root for other teams. Steelers fans in the past, there's a lot of hatred going around. In some ways, it's good for football to have these kind of rivalries and whatnot. But important point out of this is, if the Ravens lose to the Steelers this week, it's more than not over. They have their destiny in their own hands. If they win their last four games, they're still winners of the AFC North, which is really an unusual place to be.
Yep.
That you can be tied like this and still have your destiny like that.
Yep. So, lesson is, if we lose this week, it's still not over. Don't panic. just, you know, pray, right?
Yeah, we might be down to prayer. It's we'll be close, because it'll be a tough road to hoe the remainder of the way. Okay, so now the Ravens' most likely path to make the playoffs is not even to go 4-1. It's probably to go 3-2, finish 9-8, and then they have some conditions that have to occur. So if Pittsburgh also goes 3 and they, okay, they would only lose the AFC North under the following conditions if they go 3-2. This is what I need to say. If Pittsburgh also goes 3-2, they can win the AFC North, but they have to win both games against the Ravens. So it could happen, but I think it's unlikely for the Ravens to go 3-2 with both of their losses coming to Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh could go 4-0 or 5-1 and outright the Ravens. That's certainly possible. Or Cincinnati could go 5-0 and they would win the tiebreaker over the Ravens by head to head, because obviously if they go 5-0, they win the second game against the Ravens, and then they would have the tiebreaker. So they need to avoid three things that are all fairly unlikely, I would say, if they go 3-2. In fact, I'd say if they go 3-2, their chance to win the division is probably 70-75%, maybe higher. They'd really have to lose. They'd really almost have to lose both games to Pittsburgh. The Pittsburgh going 4-1 is a possibility. Yeah, actually, I'm looking at this. I could have. That is still a possibility, so I have to list that. I don't see the Bengals going 5-0, but they have a game against Buffalo coming up, and that will be another key game that the Ravens will be rooting for the Buffalo Bills to do them a favor again.
Yep. So two things I'm hearing with this 3-2 path. One, we have to split with Pittsburgh. Two, we have to beat Cincinnati in Cincinnati. And then we can't, as long as we get one more win between Steelers, Patriots, or Packers, we still win the division.
So you bring up an interesting point. It may be that if they lose that game in Cincinnati, that would put them at, and they lose, and Bengals, they lose one,
still have to
3-3. Yeah, but so the Bengals might not win out, is my point. But the Pittsburgh would be, the Ravens would be 3-3 in the division, and I'm not sure where Pittsburgh stands currently. If they lose one game to the Ravens, they've lost one to Cincinnati, they still have one against the Browns. I think actually that there's a niche in here where the Ravens don't win it if they don't split with the Steelers. So that could be a problem. Okay. So anyway, obviously, no, I've got that in the first one. Pittsburgh also
So they'd have to sweep us. So if we beat Cincinnati and we beat Steelers once, as long as we win one other game, we're good.
Okay, so let's move forward here. If the Ravens go 2-3, you think, well, there's no way they'll make the playoffs if they go 2-3. It's not that far-fetched that they make the playoffs at 8-9 as division champs, but a lot of things have to happen. And here's what has to happen. Pittsburgh also has to go 2-3, and the Ravens have to win both games versus Pittsburgh, and Cincinnati loses two games in total. So Cincinnati would be beating us once, because both of Ravens' wins coming against Pittsburgh. So they'd have to lose to Buffalo and then somebody else. And who's on the rest of Cincinnati's schedule while we're looking? Because I know it's not very good. Miami.
I got that for you. Yep. So Bills next, Ravens, Miami, Cardinals, Browns.
Okay. So, you know, Browns could certainly give them a game any given week. They've given a lot of teams games this year. The Cardinals, probably not. And the Miami Dolphins are playing well right now. They really have played well.
Yeah, who knows which version of the Miami team is going to show up?
Yeah, so you don't know, but Cincinnati losing 3 out of 4 to the non-Ravens opponents seems pretty unlikely. But them losing 2 games out of 4 doesn't seem impossible. So anyway, the second possibility of going 2-3 and then finishing 8-9 is if the Ravens go 2-3, The Ravens beat Pittsburgh once and Cincinnati once in that group, then they would need the Steelers and Bengals just not to finish ahead of them, not to outright them for the year. So that actually is a pretty reasonable possibility, but it basically means win the next 2 weeks. You could win the finale again, but they really, that Bengals win then takes in a magnified importance. And if they beat the Bengals obviously are just the best they can do is tie with them. And then the Ravens will win it by either division record or by common opponent, if not that. The next possibility is the Pittsburgh goes 2-3, and the Ravens beat Pittsburgh once, plus Cincinnati loses two games. So that's possible. That's a lesser possibility of the they sweep Pittsburgh method. This is they only need to beat them once, as long as these other things happening. But Pittsburgh going 2-3 with only one, the Ravens beating them only once is a less likely version of that. And then also Pittsburgh could go 1-4 and Cincinnati could lose two games and they could outright both teams. And Pittsburgh would finish with 10 losses. Cincinnati would finish with 10 losses. And that's another fine way to do it. So it's not out of the question that they win the division at 8-9.
Correct. This is not out of the question. Again, what I'm hearing is we can't let Pittsburgh sweep us, and the game against Cincinnati in Cincinnati is going to be very important. It's going to decide a lot.
Yep. And Cincinnati may be effectively gone by the time Buffalo beats them. You know, that'd be a very severe hit to their playoff hopes if they lose to Buffalo. But they still can win the head-to-head against the Ravens with a win at Cincinnati. So that's something to be feared.
Yep.
And I'm not 100% sure, but a three-way tie at 8-9 might be Cincinnati's best way to get there. And I don't know how they're sitting in the division right now. They played one Browns game and won it, right? That was early in the season. They won like 17-16.
Correct.
And then they played Pittsburgh twice already and won one of those two, correct? So that makes them 2 and then they played Baltimore. So 3-1 in the division currently?
That is correct.
Okay. So 3-1 with 2 to play. So their best chance to win the title might be to end up 4-2 in the division, or 4-2 or 5-1 and get into a three-way tie. Three-way tie would we've had this come up before where that would really mess up the Ravens any kind of head-to-head advantages they have in a two-team tiebreaker. So
yep.
Anyway, 8-9, still a possibility. Now, how about 7-10? Is there a possibility the Ravens could get into the playoffs at 7-10? Well, incredibly, yes, there is a possibility. It's a big long shot, but if Pittsburgh were to lose one to the Ravens and each of their remaining four games, they would also finish 7-10, and the Ravens would have the third tiebreaker over them for common opponents. But that would also require Cincinnati to lose three games, and we've already got them with one win against the Ravens. It's really 3 of 4 of the other games they would need to lose. I know that's very complicated, but that's what tiebreakers are. We're doing it with 5 weeks left to go. I know there's a lot of people who don't care about tiebreakers, by the way. One of the most annoying things you can do to someone who does a lot of work trying to figure out tiebreakers is to say, who cares about tiebreakers? Just win. Way too early to talk about tiebreakers. Look, go screw yourself. You know,
it's not the reality of the NFL.
I just worked on this for 2 hours. Go to hell.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to care, but you don't have to say anything either. So,
And I think there's something to be said about John Harbaugh not spending the 2 hours looking at this and trying to analyze which games are more important than other ones. I think there's a lot to be said about that. But as fans and as people outside who were not scheming up plays and trying to identify, individual players' weaknesses, like can we get a ball dropped behind this linebacker's head? Like we're not doing that. We're not contributing in that way. But for us looking at this, like we realize teams are going to win and lose games, and like that's kind of how playoffs are won and lost.
And there are game management decisions that are impacted by your playoff scenarios and whatnot. And while I don't want John Harbaugh or either offensive or defensive coordinators working on this particular problem, I do hope their analytics people are looking at it and telling them, you know, hey, here are the various paths we've got. So if you've got decisions to make, you know, you can make use of that.
And I agree that probably is happening. Like, how many times the past 4 or 5 years have we seen games come down to the 1 o'clock game on week 16, 17, 18, whatever, how many ever weeks we're at. But, you know, where we've seen this, where it's like, if you lose this one, or if you really got to beat this team, even though it's not a division, like, you know, like things like that do kind of matter. And I'm sure that goes into even the question of whether you challenge plays or whether you call timeouts at this late in the season. I'm sure those analytics folks are looking at that and contributing.
If anyone is interested, right now is a rare opportunity to watch the 1977 Baltimore Colts Lions game, which is out there on YouTube right now. I just happened to find it the other day. And these things get deleted, and the NFL gets after the people who put these things out there. And so it's usually a limited window that you can see this for. What they have is most of the game anyway, and it's missing the end where the Colts lose the game on a blocked punt in the final seconds. In fact, the Lions rushed 11 men. They made no attempt in return. So if he got the punt off, they were gonna win the game. And they didn't get the punt off. The punt got blocked, got returned by a player named Norm Thompson, who played pretty much every position that he was asked. Running back, wide receiver, blocked punts. He did everything for that Detroit Lions team. And he picked it up and ran it right in. It's like Ed Reed basically doing it for the Ravens. The entire broadcast, they're talking about what the Colts need to do to make the playoffs. They need to win this game, and then they need to win next week against New England in the finale. The New England finale, some people will remember, but New England effectively already was eliminated by the fact that the Colts lost to the Lions because it eliminated their best chance to make the playoffs, which was by a three-way tie. Then the next week, Miami played early. New England and Baltimore was late. Miami won, eliminating New England absolutely. And then New England had nothing to play for. They led that game 24-3, and the Ravens came back to win it 30-24. The Colts came back to win it 30-24. I probably used Colts and Ravens interchangeably there multiple times. But that game, it's worth taking a look at that week 13 game between the Lions and Colts. One of the really strange tiebreaker situations, and they had to rebuild the tiebreaker system the next season to basically fix it because it had been so badly botched with that game. But anyway, interesting game and worth watching if you want to watch a little Burt Jones in action. Not his best game, but he does have a nice touchdown pass to Lydell Mitchell towards the end of it.
So you're saying analytics back in 1977 would have come in handy because they'd pulled that Sam what was our punter before?
They should have gone for the safety. In fact, after the game, Ted Marchabrota, the first Ravens coach, who was coach of the Colts at the time, said, "What we should have done is had David Lee, the punter, turn towards the end zone and throw the ball out of the back of the end zone.
Yep.
That would have been the ideal the 2 points.
Yep.
But
then, yep.
But I think he might have been covering. I've always wondered." Did Marchabrota really know? Did they really know that they'd be better off losing that football game? Because
the just win your games sounds like a 1977 mentality. None of these things matter. Playoff scenario, seeding doesn't matter. Just win.
It does sound that way. And yet the conspiracy theories, I could just tell you, in Baltimore and I'm sure in New England ran rampant that day, because New England had had a huge win over Miami on that day, and it really helped the Colts out. And the Colts just stuck the dagger in their back with this block punt on the final play to effectively eliminate them from the playoffs.
So, that's funny.
All right, thanks for listening, folks. Sean, always a pleasure doing the show with you. Tell folks where they can talk football with you online.
I'm on the Twitter machine, man, at @BMORE_SKY_HIGH. Be more sky high.
All right. Other folks out there, thanks so much for listening. As always, use hashtag film study mailbag. I'm trying to do some of these short video clips to answer questions like the Rasheen Ali one I put out there today about his usage. But hit me up and I'll decide if the question is best answered by a video short, or it might be one that goes on one of our shows. Really appreciate your interaction there. For Sean Asher, this is Ken McKusick saying goodbye, and we'll talk to you next time on One Last Thing.
Let me tell you about the online cannabis company that's changing the game, Mood.com. They created an entirely line of functional gummies, 100% federally legal THC blends, discreetly delivered right to your doorstep. And here's the best part. You can get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with the promo code RAVENS. Now, I've tried a bunch of their gummies myself. Each one's totally unique. The Sleepy Time gummies knock me out right away. They help me unwind fast, leave me refreshed the next morning. The Epic Euphoria gummies, they're perfect for when your day just isn't going the way you want it to go. What makes Mood special is how they pair the THC with natural herbs and adaptogens. You won't find blends like this at any local shop. They've got gummies designed for focus, relaxation, clarity, even energy, all made from cannabis grown on small, family-owned American farms. No pesticides, no shortcuts, just high-quality weed you can trust. Plus, Mood backs everything with a 100-day satisfaction guarantee. So head on over to Mood.com, check out their amazing selection, and don't forget to use the promo code RAVENS at checkout to save 20% off your first order.
This Black Friday, get 6 months free when you move your WordPress sites to Kinsta. Enjoy faster load times, no stress when traffic spikes, and hosting you can actually count on. We're G2's number one rated host for WordPress, for a reason. Visit Kinsta.com/BF. That's KINSTA.com/BF. Don't miss out. Offer ends December 2nd.
There's nothing like being in the stands cheering on your favorite team. Game Time is your hack to unlocking amazing tickets in just a few taps. Plus, their Game Time guarantee means you can trust you'll get 100% authentic tickets at the best price. Fees are always included, so what you see is what you pay. Get the best deals on sports tickets. Download the Game Time app and create an account to start searching for tickets to upcoming games and events. Swipe, tap, ticket, go. Game Time.